Turn in our Bibles to Proverbs 2. I'm going to read the first six verses of Proverbs 2. Now hear God's word. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for being an awesome God to us and an awesome God for us. And we ask that you'd bless this time as we would consider a portion of your word and that we'd be careful and that I would be careful in the words that I use and that in all these things you would be glorified. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. So this time of year is very special for a lot of folks because they've been laboring, and then comes finals, and then comes graduation. Graduation is a great moment there. It's that tipping point moment where allegedly you passed all of the criteria, all of the classes, all of the tests, and satisfactorily demonstrated some knowledge, and one of the charges at commencement ceremony at a graduation, one of the charges is the speakers are usually supposed to push the graduates to use that knowledge, to do something with it, to make a difference, to inspire them. That's what these commencement speeches are often about. Interesting comment that I'm going to bring to you in a speech that was recently given. The commencement speaker started with, "I'm not young enough to know everything." That, by the way, is a quote from a gentleman by the name of J.M. Barrie. Maybe you might know who J.M. Barrie is. He was a writer in the late 1800s and early 1900s. He wrote an interesting story about youth called Peter Pan. So it's interesting to me that that was used at a commencement speech. But here's a statement that was made that I found inspiring. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. That's from Helen Keller. You know, the Proverbs are full of wisdom, full of reminders, full of guidance. Proverbs 2, built upon Proverbs 1, I'll ask you to turn back to Proverbs 1. If you notice in Proverbs 1, in the uninspired text, first it'll tell you, in many of the translations, the usefulness of Proverbs. Then in Proverbs 1, it'll break it to another aspect that is very real. Its enticement of sinners is brought out. And then finally, in the uninspired text, as they break up Proverbs, there's the warns of wisdom and what wisdom is. So as we go to Proverbs 2, as a father speaking to a son or a daughter, in this case says son specifically, my son, if you'll receive my words and treasure my commands within you. And then it goes on to say, well, how do you do that? Well, if you're attentive in your ears to wisdom, if you incline your heart to understanding, if you cry for discernment, if you lift your voice for understanding, and if you seek her as silver. These are actions we're to do. But the Proverbs all come with warnings. Proverbs 1, 22, 23, which I find very personal. How long, you simple ones, that's me, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning. We see that every day in the world. And fools hate knowledge. We see that as well. Turn at my rebuke, says the Lord. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you and make my words known to you. It's an honest and accurate and profound declaration of the poison of our sin nature. What we see in this call to wisdom, particularly in Proverbs 2, and this what I love about the Proverbs in this way, it's a call to everyone, not just a select few. And it's an invitation that has nothing to do with your age, how smart you are, your intelligence, your wealth, your prestige, your place in life. It's a call to seek God's wisdom, and it's an impartial call. It's a beautiful call. It's open to those who will cry out and listen. One of the great books that I enjoy reading about trial and tribulation is that of Job. And many times in the book of Job, it speaks about wisdom. You can turn to Job 28 if you like. Job 28, 12. And it poses a question there. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Remember, this account is of a man who was being scourged, if you will, challenged, tested by the devil. A little further in the chapter, chapter 28, down verse 23, there's a declaration here about where he needs to go. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil shows understanding. To shun evil. In Proverbs 2, there are several parts that you can break it up. I'm going to break it in about four parts. But I want you to possibly underline another proverb as we think about this. And that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. For in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. As you think about gaining knowledge and understanding and using it carefully, I think Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a helpful guide, a reminder on what we're to do. And I believe that this is saying that in this journey for God's wisdom, it's not just the ride of life. It's just not a journey of adventures. It isn't where we meander through our experiences of life hoping to stumble upon some profound and interesting point. But the journey that searches for wisdom requires both determination and purpose. It requires both initiative and perseverance. And just to point you to where that reminder comes to us in the New Testament, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Peter 1. So turn with me to 2 Peter 1. And we're going to pick up at verses 5 through 9. 2 Peter 1. Now, in previous, there's a discussion by Peter about a life of godliness. And then it says, now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. This is a warning, as it is expressed also in the Proverbs. There's a warning here of not learning from our mistakes, not learning from our past sins. So where do we begin this journey to find God's wisdom? I believe it begins with having a relationship with God. That journey begins when you seek Him first. Prayer, scripture, fellowship, thought. In Proverbs 9:10, it states, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So that relationship begins with God. Begins your relationship in the world should begin with a relationship with God. The fear of the Lord here in this passage is a holy fear. It's a fear that holds respect and reverence for God. It's the sort of fear that is right and good. As King David knew, saying, it's pure and it endures forever. And that's found in Psalm 19:9. It is a fear that enables us to respect God's authority, to obey His commandments, and to turn away from foolishness and evil. It is the heart of godly wisdom. In such a fear of the Lord, it'll stop us short from saying or doing something foolish or something that we would regret later. Now, I remember before, and I've prayed for this before, specifically thinking about this line of, begin with our thoughts. Begin with the thoughts. It's great when you're held short from doing it or saying it, but it begins with your thoughts. It directs our steps. It guides us in life. It gives us a sense of direction towards the kingdom in order that we may fulfill His purposes. And if we have eyes to see His hand in our life, it actually is a comfort and joy to us. Even during time of struggle, or during time of our kicking at the goads, if we can quiet our hearts for a moment and see the joy that's about around us and see the mercy that He's shown us, I believe it'll become more clear how we're to behave and what we're to do, especially when we're confused. So there's four points I want to draw out from Proverbs 2, as I said. First point is, seeking wisdom, the wisdom of God, takes work. It just doesn't alight upon you. It takes work. Verses 1 through 4 pulls that out. Second point is, true application of wisdom is selfless. True application of wisdom is selfless. Number 3, it's a warning. Found in verses 13 through 19. Abandoning wisdom leads to death. And the last point is, the promises of both seeking and walking in wisdom leads to life, in verses 20 through 22. So first we're going to just take a quick look at verses 1 through 4. You can go back to Psalm 2, 1 through 4. Proverbs 2, 1 through 4, So 1 through 4 says, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, and make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice to understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. All of those are actions. Okay? If you treasure something, you'll act like you treasure something. You'll invest time in it. You'll invest energy in it. Making your ear attentive. One time during a counseling session that I was part of with Pastor Needham at the time, and it was with a young man, and he challenged the young man. He challenged him as he was working on several things in his life. He challenged him to be quiet more, to listen. Here it says, to incline your ear to wisdom. I think the choice of the words here in Proverbs about crying for or to cry for discernment, not a help me figure it out. It's a heartfelt, I would say, humble cry for discernment, to understand. And lifting your voice to understanding, to me, as I read this, that's seeking after you hear some things and ask questions. Oftentimes, we get in, well, I'll tell you, I get my most exercise from jumping to conclusions, not taking the time to ask questions. All of these are behaviors or actions or work that we are to do to seek wisdom. And of course, searching for her as a hidden treasure, that's an action too. That's investing time and energy to search. Second point talks about being selfless. And it talks about discernment and fear of the Lord. It talks about the Lord giving the wisdom. It talks about him storing it up for the upright. It also talks about the shield and walking in integrity, and that it guards the paths of justice and it preserves the way of the holy ones. And you discern it with righteousness and justice and equity in every course. And wisdom will enter your heart that way. And it'll give you discretion. It'll guard you. And in the verses 5 through 12, it spends a lot of time speaking about that selflessness. That's what I read into this understanding here. But there's some pretty dark warnings here, picking up from verses 13 through 19. And it talks about walking in ways of darkness, delighting in doing evil. Do you ever wonder when you see some of the things that go on, particularly today in the media, even some fairly powerful and influential people almost seem to delight in doing evil? In fact, as silly as it sounded when it was first reported, but then as terrible as I understood it better, there's a new behavior when people don't like what other people are saying. And right now it seems to be with when the conservatives speak of something and the liberals don't like it, especially in England, you know what they do? They throw milkshakes at them. They throw milkshakes at them. And that somehow is supposed to be acceptable. So when they rejoice in the perversity of their evil, and they walk on those crooked and devious paths, their folly is just before them. So what are we to do? There's a discussion here about temptation. And while this is very clear to see a temptation that men have, there's a seduction here that we all need to be careful of. Here it talks about an adulteress who flatters with her words. She betrays the trust of her companion for somebody else. But that someone else is just as much a part of her sin as she is. And they don't return from that. That's a warning of not being able to recover. But the closing of this proverb that is just a great comfort and joy picks up at verse 20. So you'll walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness, of the righteous, excuse me. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. That should be a reassurance to us. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be uprooted by it. It's not our battle to win, as we heard today from Pastor Finley. That bloody shield and bloody armor is from the true battle. But gratefully, it's the blood of Christ, who's already won the battle, already fought the fight, already done the closing of that chasm, already executed that closing of that chasm between us and God. But we have to cling to him. You see, going back to the previous statements about wisdom is fearing the Lord and seeking him. And seeking him means seeking after his ways, seeking after his words, seeking after his will, and recognize our dependency upon him. So in closing, if we want to grow in God's wisdom, we need to get into the Bible. We need to understand that it's God's roadmap for us. And the goal is, as we get into it, is to be transformed in our thinking. A renewing of our minds, as Paul calls it in Ephesians 4:23. And when this happens, we'll be less conformed to the world, more transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that is, we'll be more like him and less like our own bad selves. How profitable are the scriptures? We're told that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you're equipped in that way and you're armed, as we heard this morning, with the armor of God. So where you spend your time, where you invest your time, is where you put your heart. Be careful where you invest your time. If you're seeking after wisdom, invest your time well in the Word, in fellowship, in prayer. And be fearful of God. But a fear that respects and honors him, that will bring him joy. We are to show wisdom in the world by living out our faith. May we live out our faith boldly and joyfully and confidently as believers. Amen. Let's pray.